All right, welcome. Episode 6 of the Fighter Pilot Professor. I am your host, as ever, Meta. And today we're going to be talking about Napoleon and how did he get to be such a big deal. And then we'll also be talking about how do I give a good speech? How do I talk in public without making a fool out of myself? We'll jump right in. Okay, so I recently went and saw the new movie, Napoleon, which is actually pretty good, but it doesn't talk much about how Napoleon came to be such a big deal. And the short version is it all has to do with the French Revolution. And so one of the things that happened when the French Revolution went down was there was both an internal civil war between different factions, royalists and those seeking independence, and then also France's neighbors, especially the ones that were monarchies, namely England and Austria and Russia, repeatedly, for lack of a better way to put it, ganged up on France in an attempt to swing the French Revolution in favor of the royalist factions. So Napoleon came to prominence during fighting for the revolutionary factions in France. So the biggest place that he came to prominence was he ousted the British fleet from the port of Toulon, which was a big deal because they had basically blockaded the French ability to get anything in and out of that port. And then the next big thing that happens, he gets promoted because of that, and that's depicted in the movie. Spoiler alerts all around for the movie. So then he gets promoted because of that, and then following that, he fights a series of wars in Italy against the Austrians, Prussians, Russians, English, etc., and essentially expands the French hold into modern day Italy. Just as an aside, Italy was not a unified country at this point. It was various kingdoms and factions itself. So that's also a different thing for a different day. And then because of that, Napoleon gains popularity and power through that series of victories. And finally, he actually uses the army, the revolutionary army, if you will, against loyalist factions in the city of Paris. So there's still that struggle all the way up till about 1800, roughly. And Napoleon uses the army on the streets of Paris against royalist protesters against the French government. This eventually leads to an increasing Napoleon fame. And then he also, following all that, he goes off to Egypt and fights a fairly large campaign against the British in Egypt, which ultimately is a French defeat. But because of his popularity and victories up to this point and his political connections, he is able to assist in the orchestration of a coup as part of the French Revolution that overthrows the Jacobins, which are a faction in charge who were responsible for most of the beheadings of the French Revolution. So the Jacobins run what's known as the Reign of Terror. Napoleon and some of his political counterparts run a coup, and that essentially installs Napoleon as the lead consul of a triumvirate. So very similar to Caesar during the Roman times and Caesar's rise to power. Napoleon's rise to power actually mirrors Caesar's rise to power in Rome very closely. And then using that political power and his army and his military power, he is able to then install himself as emperor. And then he goes on a series of campaigns against again, the same sort of crowd. So the Austrians, the Russians, the Prussians, the which are the proto-Germans, if you want to look at it that way, and the English. And he wins a series of battles. Ultimately, however, he's defeated on a very long and bloody march to go all the way to Moscow, which loses somewhere in the neighborhood of 500,000 French soldiers. That ultimately leads to his first exile on the island of Elba, which he returns from, reorganizes his army, overthrows the government again, reinstalls himself as emperor, and this time the government was a return of the king, as it were. The royalist faction takes back over, and Napoleon is able to sway the army to join him. He executes another coup, installs himself, and then ultimately goes on another series of wars against this coalition of other European powers. And that is his final downfall at the Battle of Waterloo. And he is finally exiled to the island of St. Helena, where he dies. So that's the short version of how Napoleon gets into power. I'm going to record another one that talks about what are the impacts and why Napoleon's warfare becomes such a big deal. So listen up for that one. That'll be the next episode. But that's the short version of how Napoleon rises to power. So today's question is a little more practical, a little less esoteric than the last couple of questions have been. And it's basically like, how do I learn to speak in public well? And the short version, as I like to give the short version of everything here, the short version is, well, just learn to have a conversation with your audience. You're not giving a speech, you're having a conversation. So if you look at it that way, that will help you give a better public speech, right? So to that end, and frankly, you know, being a fighter pilot, there's a lot of talking in public. You have to brief and debrief and lead large groups of people and small groups of people and distill very complicated plans down into some simple concepts, etc. And so the more conversational you can make it, and again, the conversations can be formal, right? If you think about conversations you might have with your boss or teacher or whatever, right? Those conversations are more formal than the ones you would have with your friends. So conversations can be formal conversations or they can be casual conversations. And public speaking can be the same way. It can be a formal conversation or a casual conversation. So to that end, if you look at it as a conversation, then the big thing to think about is, what is it that I'm trying to convey? And this is the biggest piece of advice I have for this is, don't try to memorize a speech. That will ultimately, especially if you're nervous, lead to a poor performance. Instead, memorize your 3 or 5 or however many main points, the big ideas that you want to carry across, right? And a couple of supporting points to those. And I mean, literally memorize them like bullet points. Don't memorize them like this long, drawn out sentence. But today I want to talk about Napoleon and giving good speeches, right? And then that will allow you to essentially have this conversation, and it'll mean that you rely less on your ability to recall exactly word for word that you want to say when you're nervous or you get interrupted, yeah, there's a question or something happens with technology or something like that. So the biggest thing I would say is don't try to memorize a full speech. Instead, know what it is your big talking points are, and that'll allow you to give those talking points a little easier, right? So if you combine those two things, have a conversation, use your talking points, then that'll allow you to sort of format your talk a little easier. The last thing I'll say is, because it's a conversation, right? Look around the room and literally address members of your audience individually, right? So if it's a big audience or a small one, it's sort of irrelevant, but move your attention around to the various members of your audience. And that will make it less intimidating because now I'm just having a conversation with this person that odds are that I know. And even if I don't, right, I'm just having this conversation with a stranger about a thing that I know, right? And so that will help you instead of just looking out, you know, into this big room of people that are staring blankly back at you. That'll help you engage your audience members sort of one at a time. The follow-up to that is, of course, don't just stare at one person, but move your focus around the room, right? And that'll help sort of break it up as well. And then finally, you know, as always, be prepared for the worst, right? So have an idea of how much time do I have and keep track of that, right? And know what parts of my talk that I can cut out if I need to, and know when I need to expand a point. Now that being aware of my time and having these sort of talking points will allow me to expand or contract my talk as I need to. And then I can engage the audience members individually, and being aware of my time will allow me to have this much more engaging talk than just me standing here and rote memorizing, regurgitating the thing that I want to talk about. So hopefully that helps with your public speaking, and keep shooting me your questions. All right, thanks for tuning in. That's episode 6 for today. Hopefully, you know, you learned a little bit more about Napoleon. I'll follow it up next episode with the discussion of, like, what is the outcome of the Napoleonic Wars and why is this such a big deal, right? So why is Napoleon this huge and outsized influence, right? And as usual, I hope that you keep sending me requests for things to talk about. Fortunately, I'm building up a list of things, so we'll see where we go in the future. Have a good one.